Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown head smiley face. Was I supposed to say that?
Yep.
I supposed to act that out?
Hello and welcome, everyone. Step into the China Shop. We've got a flash sale month in review. Everything from May must go. So get it out of here. It's already been all smashed. But as it goes out, we're going to go over what it used to be before we smashed it up. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle's celebrating a big promotion today. He's the new lead demolition sexpert here in the China Shop. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Feeling great. Smashing it.
Smashing it. That's what a sexpert does.
Yeah.
Come on into the shop with us today. Oh, I'm so excited. We've got a big, May's been such a big bump for us here. We've had some great interviews. Definitely had some great happenings in the market with, what's that stock, Kyle? Everybody's talking about it. We made a bunch of money off of it. It's,
Virgin Galactic.
Yes. Oh, well, shit. No, that's the one you made money off.
Oh, Damn.
Anyway, yeah, we're just so glad you're here. If you found your way here and this is your first time in the shop, you probably don't want to start here. We've got some beginning trading episodes that you can give a listen. We'll have some links in the episode description, which is, and it's funny, one of the guests we're going to go over, Dr. Hans, is one of the episodes we recommend that you might like to listen to get an introduction into the market and the shop. And as always, you can find us on our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day. It's really just an awesome place to be. And if you do join that server, make sure to send us a private message or email with your mailing address so we can send you a smash it yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just glad everybody's here. We're glad we made it through another month successful. We didn't crash out our portfolios.
You say we.
We. Yeah.
Was I ever in danger?
No. Just me. Just me. The royal.
I think there's only one of us that likes to go 100% in something.
Yeah. Well, you know. Courage of my convictions. I'm not a coward.
Yeah.
I'm only a coward when it comes to joining the military.
Right.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
That's right. Yes. We are recording this on Monday.
So, Kyle, we started off the month. Our first interview was with, as I mentioned in the introduction, Dr. Hans, the investing tutor.
Didn't he just have like the perfect voice for podcasting?
Oh, yeah. It was like music.
I found myself just getting lost in his words. Half the time, I'm not even sure I understand. I had to listen to the episode again to hear what he actually said.
Yeah. I listened to it to fall asleep at night, so I feel comforted and safe with this melodic voice easing me to sleep. And the guy has so much information and knowledge. He's really somebody who, when he came across investing, just dove in. Full heart, full mind.
The guy read the entire SEC rule book.
Yeah. Who does that? That's dedication. You got to really be into it. Let me tell you.
I've tried to read some of those filings and goddamn, those things are boring.
Right. I'm no lawyer. Like, I can't even make heads or tails of half of the sentences. Like, okay. All right. I guess that's something good, right?
Right. What does it mean he disposed of? What is that? Yeah,
right. Oh, shit, the stock price is dropping. Maybe it was bad. I guess it was bad. Shit. Yeah, one of the big things that I took away from Dr. Hans was he. I feel like he did a good job of really illustrating how economies on a mass scale are affected by things like inflation and the turning of market trends. Like we did see a big shift out of tech stocks through the beginning of the year.
I was very unhappy to hear him explain why my home value prices have gone up so high. Like, damn it, he's right. What was the line he said? Everybody's home values are going up 20-30%, but nobody's stopping to ask the question why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, no, don't say that, Dr. Hans. Don't say that.
Yeah, just let it be a good thing. Just let it be a good thing. Inflation has nothing to do with it. It's not a sign of any bad things on the horizon.
The other thing that I think he did a fantastic job of, it was actually explaining like where some of the value of crypto comes from. And we didn't spend nearly as much time with him on that as we could have. In fact, we'll probably have to get him back to maybe just do a whole new crypto with them.
Yeah.
Just a whole dedicated segment. Yeah. But yeah, explaining like the cost of like the actual mining of it is something that should be intrinsic in the value of it made a whole lot more sense to me.
Right. And why the value of Bitcoin has gone up is because the amount of electricity it's using as the amount, because the setup of Bitcoin is a limited supply. So as the years go on, they keep shrinking the amount of Bitcoin you get from a new mining operation. And that pushes the price up because of the intrinsic value of the energy used to mine a Bitcoin.
Right.
I got through that sentence. Yes.
Then it made sense.
Well, and I was also interested to learn that Ethereum is like the platform of a lot of electronic transactions now, and that also has a value.
Well, I signed up for Coinbase this last month, and I was going to talk a little bit about that too, to kind of finally dip my toes into the waters. We can talk a little bit more about that after we get through the guest reviews here, but I was kind of surprised to see how many of these other cryptos seem to rely on Ethereum.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if you spend any time on there. There's a feature on there where you can just like watch a couple short videos and earn like $2-3 of whatever that crypto, the video is like.
No, that feature is only available to you because I started my account last year.
Oh, well, they put new ones up every now and then. So
I did on your recommendation. I opened it up and I logged in and I could find zero places that let me do that. The only thing it'll give me rewards for is signing up new users.
Okay.
Wait, did you deposit any money before they started letting you do that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if it was there before I deposited anything.
Maybe that'll be the thing that opens it up for me, because I haven't put any money.
That's possible. Yeah. One thing I did not like about it, I guess I might as well just finish the review of Coinbase while we're talking about it.
Well, it's relevant.
Yeah. One thing I did not like, and I think we kind of talked a little bit about it with Vico, or the next guest in the month to talk about, just jumping all over the fucking place.
Yeah, right? Wow. All over the map.
The fees on Coinbase are outrageous.
Yes.
To buy like $200 worth of, I think about a couple hundred bucks worth of Cardano, and then Mana was the other one. Like, it was like $9 transaction fee. I'm like, God damn, that's like 5% of my investment right there.
Yeah, that's like broker trading in the 80s. It's going to cost you.
And the other thing is, I think that scales up the more, because when I did a smaller amount into Mana, and the fee looked like it was a percentage. Like, it looks like it's a set percentage that they're going to charge. So if you try to sell them one Bitcoin, it's probably going to be thousands of dollars.
Yeah, the number I was quoted a couple weeks ago, somebody said it was $1,000 to buy a Bitcoin, and then $1,000 to sell a full Bitcoin.
Right. Fucking ridiculous. Yeah, probably not the best platform to trade on there. I did like the ability to earn free shit on there, but I don't know, for a couple $100, it seemed like it was worth just kind of dipping my toes into the water with it.
Right. You're right. Good introduction.
Yeah.
Good place. Does Coinbase allow you to have a your own wallet? Is it a hot wallet?
Yeah, you actually own the coins.
Okay. Okay. That's probably why they charge you the higher percentage.
That could be, yeah.
Anyway, so Dr. Hans did illuminate a good deal of crypto. We should get him back on here to really explain the nitty gritty. It's really, really interesting that they all seem to be Ethereum based. Not they all, but a lot of them.
One other quick thought on Coinbase. Might actually be a good stock to invest in if they're making that much money off of transaction fees.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good profit model right there. Yeah. Didn't they just IPO?
Yep. I think the price is kind of depressed too, so might be a good time to jump in there and grab some. I think that might be one of those ones Kathy Woods has been scooping up.
Oh, yeah, the lady that sold Virgin Galactic before it spiked.
Yep. The lady who made 20% year over year, I think, or some ridiculous
number. Yeah, I know. She's, you can't win them all. Yeah, Coinbase IPO'd up around 325. It's currently 236. So I'd watch that that bear trend and watch it to turn around and then move into Coinbase. If I was looking to move into Coinbase, I'd wanna see it break that pattern of lower lows and lower highs.
Right, right.
But I definitely think this is a company that could start paying dividends a lot quicker than Tesla.
All right. Anything more about Dr. Hans?
Yeah, fucking loved him. Really knowledgeable. The depth of his knowledge and his passion is really high. He does have that website, theinvestingtutor.com, and he will. That's what he does. He's a investing tutor. So it's not a good episode to start to sink your teeth into to get an introduction. But if you like that one-on-one, if that's for you and you thrive off that kind of learning style, oh man, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better guy than Dr. Han.
Yep, 100%. So who is our next guest?
Our next guest was Vico from Trade Pro Academy.
Victorio Stefanov.
Stefanov. Yeah, but I like calling him Vico because it's
that's his Twitter handle.
That shortened, it's sleek and cool. It's like, ooh,
yeah. Kind of makes you feel like you're dealing with some kind of mafia guy.
Very close to Vito.
Put the clamps on him.
Give him the clamps. Maybe you should give him the clamps. Oh, this thing that I do every time you see me? No, anyway. I like Futurama. I can't speak highly enough about the people over Trade Pro. They're so, so amazing. And having him on the show was not only a really fun time, but we covered a lot of great, great content with Vico. He's like an options guru.
If you're on Twitter, you should definitely give Vico a follow because he posts his trades or his ideas every day and then updates them at the end of the day. So if you're into trying to make day trades or swing trades, he's a really good resource to follow. And he set you up too, didn't he, Dan?
Oh, he did. He did. And that's only 10% of the reason why I love Vico. but yeah, they went ahead and gave me 2 months to the Trade Pro Academy. There's no way I'll be able to get through it all. So it's probably not as much a gift as you think, because I'm going to be subscribing here pretty soon. give you a taste to get you hooked, baby.
Right.
But already in the foundations course, just hearing him talk about the trend lines and the cycles of technical analysis, because so they're not really worried about the fundamentals of the company. You know, that appeals to me, like right. Darvis style. Darvis was a technical guy, and believe it or not, there is some overlap as I'm watching. I'm like, oh God, what Darvis would call a box, they call consolidation, right? Like,
okay.
Like literally,
oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
These two, like the knowledge from one is confirming the other. I'm like, holy shit, this really is how to look and identify trends and identify how to trade the trends to your profit. There's no surefire thing, but if you want the odds in your favor, this is the pricing patterns and the cycles. You know, you've got anyway. They lay it all out. They walk you through it. Step by step, and it's I don't think they're keeping it secret, because if you go back and listen to our episode, what was the kind of things Vico was saying? He was saying, "Oh, I'm an options trader. I look for the pivot points. Well, what's a pivot point? That's going to be the point where it lets him know if the trend is confirmed or denied.
Right.
He looks for those moments, and then he moves in on the new trend or on the continued trend." And just having it all laid out so clear, yeah, it's magic. I love the Trade Pro stuff. I'm moving through it. I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's making me an immensely better trader.
So Vico also gave us a introduction to someone coming up next month that's going to be guesting, Sarah Glass, who's also with Trade Pro Academy. She's an institutionally trained order flow expert. Because we did ask him some questions about order flow. He recommended we sit down with her. So we're looking forward to that.
Right.
The other thing that we've been kind of tossing around, because I wanted to have Richard back on this month, but then I realized I didn't make enough progress to really justify bringing him on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to bring Vico back as you make some more progress with the Trade Pro Academy to kind of just do a recap with him.
Yes. Oh, I'd really love to.
Since you're doing that one and I'm doing the Mind Muscles Academy, probably just what we can do is just record 20 minutes, you with Vico, and then 20 minutes, me with Richard. And then we can just kind of add them to when we do our June review.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Vico, it's a great episode, talks about his option strategies and the indicators he uses.
And he's not just a day trader too, which is interesting. If you follow him on Twitter, he'll give you some long ideas too.
Yeah.
Sees a stock that's got some long-term trend reversals going on, then he'll give you a target gain point and then like, hey, this might be a good time. Cut losses if it drops below this, but
right.
If it doesn't, could run up to here.
He has some great morning tweets where he goes and he looks at the market the day before and the aftermarket. Mm-hmm. And yep. he sets his levels, his trend lines.
Yep.
And he sets his price levels, his resistance levels, his support levels. And then he tweets them out. He's like, yep, I was looking at it all morning. Here's what I came up with.
Yep.
Obviously, the Trade Pro Academy teaches you how to find them yourself and what to do with them. But that info all on its own, that's really valuable.
Right.
Like, you know, this is a guy that makes a living doing this. Like, this is how he feeds his family and he feeds it well.
Yeah. Yeah, he does quite well.
Oh, good stuff. And then we didn't really have anybody else, though, did we?
No, I think we cleared the schedule to do a AMC special.
AMC special.
Yeah, that was the other stock that was doing pretty well this month.
Hey, you know, I seem to recall picking AMC for a bet.
Yeah.
You know, I partied pretty hard last night. So I don't really remember what happened with that bet. Could you remind me, Kyle?
I don't remember. I had a lot of fireball last night.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun night.
I don't remember
night.
Much right now. Night.
Oh, that's right. I get to give you some bet consequences. I know we're about to talk about AMC, but I wanted to spring it on you.
I thought you forgot about it. Damn it.
Kyle lost the bet because I picked AMC. And as we did the special, like AMC... When we recorded the special, it was at 19, and it ended the week at 26. So I took the lead away from Random and smashed it handily. And now, yeah, Kyle, I'll give you the choice right now, and then you can decide at the end of the episode. We'll go back to talking about the AMC special.
Oh, you're such a dick.
Yeah, I'm going to make you sweat. Okay, so you get to choose. You've got two things to choose from, because that's what you did to me. So you can either take things out of your closet and garage and fill up the back seat of your car and leave it there for a month.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I want photos. I want photos that back seat is completely full of stuff. It doesn't have to be trash. It just could be whatever you got. I started making a list of the things that I used to carry around with me, but then I was like, no, Kyle can choose his own junk to put in the car. Yeah,
that has to be completely full.
Yeah, you can't use your trunk for anything. Not trunk, your back seat. Yeah, it has to be, I mean, not to the top, like where it's dangerous and shit's flying around, but it has to be full enough to where, like, if you needed to use your back seat, you'd have to clean your car. Yeah, and I want pictures.
Oh my God, such a dick.
The whole month. But, well, I could be a dick. You don't know. We've got door number two. I haven't even gotten there.
What is number two?
Door number two, and because I had a whole month of stuff, I had to try and balance it. So number two is once a week, you have to watch an episode of Jersey Shore in order. You have to start with season one, episode one, and watch four of them.
Oh, that's even worse than I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to, God damn it.
And to prove that you watched them, the only thing I can come up with is you have to live stream your face as you're watching. I don't know. But I definitely want some sort of verification that you actually watched them. I was also thinking maybe you could, give me a brief synopsis of every episode each week on the show.
It has to be in order. I can't just pick and choose.
Nope. Has to be in order. You have to live the agony.
And it has to be Jersey Shore.
Yeah, that's the one I picked. I was going through. Part of me wanted to do My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. then I watched the trailers and I was like, no, that's actually got story and plot, and like there's something to watch there. You might not like kids shows, but it's a well-crafted show. No, I need to get, I need to pick a poorly crafted show that will really torture him.
See, I thought you were going to go the superhero route because I've been pretty vocal about my disdain for comic book shows and movies. Mm. But Jersey Shore is so much worse, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you I was driving Jen nuts yesterday with like, no, I need to find the perfect one, Jen. I was looking up most boring documentaries. Yeah, I had real fun with it. But Jersey Shore, to me, is the perfect. So you've got a choice.
I actually love documentaries. That would not have been bad. I would have taken that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, right? They were like, Ken Burns, Civil War. I was like, no, that's not going to... That's no punishment.
Yes. Oh, that'd be amazing. What is that one? Let me write that down.
I'll write that down. Like 6 hours of Ken Burns reading Civil War letters and looking at Civil War photos. Like, no, they'll like that too much.
Yeah. God, clear out my next weekend.
Yeah. I found a documentary that's just 10 hours of paint drying, but that's cruel and unusual.
Is that real?
Yeah, some guy did it as an art piece.
10 hours of paint drying. It's
just ridiculously dumb.
Awful.
I don't know all the names of the people on the Jersey Shore, but I'm hoping that you pick that one so you will know all the names of the people on the Jersey Shore. Yeah, maybe like a chart with friendships and enemies. Who's backstabbing?
Nice Venn diagram.
Yeah,
a Venn diagram of who slept with who.
Yeah,
and who
there you go.
Who, and then where they overlap. That might actually make it kind of fun to get through a little bit of a graphing project.
All right. So Kyle's going to have to think on that to give us his he has to choose his poison at the end of the show. But until then.
I was gonna say I like the symmetry of the trashing my interior of my car.
I got to form a habit. You got to get used to it and love
it. The problem is I'm assuming it has to be the car I'm driving. Like I can't drive a car unless it's full because the wife has a car. I usually take the wife's car to work.
Yeah, but I can't punish Laura. Well, what's wrong with you taking your car to work?
It just costs more than gas. My car's got a fucking 6-liter V8.
All right. I'll cover the extra gas. You just take your car to work. Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
I know. Yeah, the worst that happens, I just have to send you $30. I mean, come on.
Right. God damn it.
All right. Well, yeah, think on that. Because it would have to be your car. I'm not going to punish Laura.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you two are going somewhere, like, obviously you could take Laura's car.
She'll have to drive.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Anyway, back to AMC movie theaters.
The whole AMC was in a deep red state. Then nearly $14 trillion ago, inflation started. Wait, the stocks began to moon. The institutions joined in too. Robin Hood disabled tools. They screwed us all. They fucked up everything. Math, science, ADD, unraveling the mysteries. That all started with the roaring cat. Meow.
I just actually went out and saw a movie last night.
Which one?
Cruella.
Mm-hmm.
Got some Twitter love, posted my picture at the theater. For the first time, I went to the AMC Prime seats because, you know, I was talking about those D-Box seats they got in the Cinemark theaters that rumble.
Right, right.
Apparently, AMC is doing their thing where it's not as intense. Like, you don't get the seat movement,
mm-hmm.
but you do have the full vibrations that are, like, tied into the bass on the soundtrack.
Right.
That was pretty sweet. Like,
huh.
Fully reclined. I even joined their rewards program. They give you like three movies a week. Right?
Nice. Yeah.
And the cost of joining the program with my first ticket and my first combo popcorn, like it was even. Cause I actually did it both ways in the app just so I could see. So I already, it didn't cost me anything extra. It's just, I have to go to the movies at least once a month to make, to pay for itself.
Which you tend to do anyway.
Yeah, that's a deal. Normally I get the Cinemark one, but now I'm in AMC stock. So why not go support the company that I have a little piece of?
There can be only one, Dan. There can be only one.
But anyway, that enough fluff. Their price is moving handily this week. The short increases have been increasing since we...
Short interest?
Sorry, yeah. The short interest has been increasing since we did our special. Not decreasing. They are not backing down. The bear trap is on. It's in full force. It's only getting worse. That's why I ended up all in. Like, I literally right now, everything's AMC and then some insurance. I did buy, I bought a few puts as insurance because I'm like, well, if I'm going to put everything in one stock, I'm going to have some fucking insurance.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, that's the time to do that, really. That's,
yeah.
And then if you can make a little bit of money off of that, that's just more shares.
Yeah, if it does drop this through this week, then yeah, I make money off the insurance and get to buy up more shares because my premise has not changed on this bear trap scenario. I got Jen buying more shares this week. She's
saw her tweeting about that too.
Yeah, it's taken a while, bit by bit, but she's starting to actually enjoy the stock stuff where it was like a chore to listen mm-hmm. to me talk about it before.
Well, that's what happens when you start making money on it.
Right?
And you start seeing the value of that account go up and starts getting addictive.
Oh, yeah.
It's like playing a video game.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we actually, we added it up today based on deposits. And she's handily beating me, by the way, in terms of all-time gains. Yeah, getting my ass kicked.
Well, yeah, she's following the advice you actually gave her. Yeah,
she's an investor who follows advice. I'm a trader looking for what is successful,
looking for a fix.
So I've had my days where it's like, oh my god, I'm up 45% today, but you know, over time she's made a lot more money than me.
So what is that? We should probably do a quick review on that strategy, huh?
Oh yeah.
Since this is a review special,
it's the basic investing method that I mean, everybody knows index funds can do it, but the way I like to do it is, what industry do I think is going to be bigger than it is in 10, 20 years than it is today? And I want an ETF in that mm-hmm. industry. Jen went with the marijuana and electric vehicles, and she's just,
what were the tickers?
YOLO and HAIL. HAIL.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some in ARK X as well,
right?
But her main holdings are YOLO and HAIL, and they are both handily up higher than when she started. And the idea of being an investor rather than a trader is, she doesn't sell her shares; she only acquires more. That's it.
Right.
That's the magic formula.
And you don't stare at it every day.
You don't stare at it every day. It's, I got some money that I can add to my horde, my dragon horde, my mm-hmm. pile of gold that I lay on. I'll add it in, add some more shares, get the pile bigger. Nothing speculative, nothing fancy, just buy, keep buying, keep buying, keep buying. And if it's an industry that's growing and getting bigger over time, those losses, they're the down days, they're outweighed by more up days than down ones. That's the idea. Long-term investing. Everybody loves to see Warren Buffett making so much money, but they really don't want to get rich slow.
Nobody wants to get rich slow. It's boring as shit.
It really is. It's so boring.
So we actually just set up both our daughters with the Webull accounts, trying to get them into it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Wesley likes to save. I think she'd probably take to it a little better than the other one, but well, we'll see.
Then what's her name?
Yep. I was just trying to decide if I should give their names out on the air or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's awesome to get those girls playing and invested mm-hmm. and learning while they're young, because that's the best time to start, especially that long-term get rich slow. Right. Dragon horde strategy is buy more, put it in there, buy more, put it in there.
Well, my hope is that, help them pick some good investments. Obviously, they want to jump into AMC, but
yeah,
hoping they get addicted to seeing that number when that number starts going up and they start realizing like, whoa, hey, wait a minute, make more money doing this long term than I can at a job.
Yeah, you learn the right skills. You can make it your job for sure. For sure.
I don't mean that. I just mean, it's better than putting your money in a savings account, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Certainly. Certainly.
Like, oh, I put it in here and it goes up. If I leave it in my account, it goes down or it does nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to hit that inflation party here pretty soon. I don't think we're going to avoid it.
No.
Actually, this morning I was thinking, I'm like, we're on an epic bull run, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't call it the roaring 20s, but you might call it the roaring teens. Yeah.
Are you thinking about 1929 again?
I am. I am. Well, every bubble fucking bursts. tech, real estate.
Yeah, eventually.
I just wonder if the when the inflation really, when we start to really feel the effects, because it's they can't stave it off forever. They cannot stave it off forever.
Do you think we're in a bubble? Or because we do see periods of, you know, corrections.
Yeah.
That tends to make me think it's a little less bubble-like. It doesn't have that just exponential run up and don't look down. Those are the ones that I'm scared of.
Yeah.
Which is why I've been so excited about the way AMC's been moving, because it'll jump and then it'll consolidate, then it'll jump
right.
And consolidate. Each time it's building support and a new base before it takes off again.
It's true. It's true. AMC's been showing some really higher highs, higher lows.
Right.
No, I just wonder, you know, I don't know. I'm no professional, but I do wonder when the market shifts into a bear cycle. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the pandemic was going to do it, but then they stimulus us out of it.
They printed us out.
They printed us out, which, okay. But did that just delay it, you know?
I don't know.
Delay the pain for when the pandemic's not over? Me neither. I'm just thinking out loud.
Do you have Hans's number?
Yeah. Dr. Hans, talk us off the ledge. We think the economy's going to crash. No, you're absolutely right on AMC. We're watching that trend just stay steady up. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it might have done enough for a pullback. That's why I bought some insurance. But I don't think it's going down to 12, you know. I don't think it's breaking. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to break 15. It might break 19, but 19, 20 is going to be the new floor.
Right.
So odds are, that's, you know, why I made my bet last week to stay at AMC. I think odds are it doesn't crash through the $20 floor and it goes back up and ends the week over 26. And that might not even have the pullback for another few. Excuse me, a few days. It might make it up to right. 35, 40 and then pull back down to 30.
At this point, I mean, because we're in such uncharted territories with the stock. The stock's never really been here before, or at least not in a long, long time. I think what the key resistance points now are just going to be those nice even round numbers. Every time we hit like 35, 40, 45, 50. 50 will be a big one, I think. $100 will be a huge one.
Yes.
All those nice even round numbers become the new points of resistance, just because they're more psychological barriers than
right
than anything technical that we have to look at. Yeah,
human beings like round numbers, and these are human beings trading these securities.
Right.
Well, maybe some of them are getting robot traded, but for the most part, it's human beings.
Right. I hope so.
You know, when we were reading through our episode stuff before the show, it struck me that we have been talking about the SEC a lot this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of got away from that a little bit, it feels like, then. Was that all this month?
That was all this month. We had some SEC hearings. Like, we started the month with SEC hearings on GameStop.
Yeah.
If you recall, another round of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was so pissed off. We need to protect retail from themselves. They don't know. We can't give them money. They don't know how to use it.
Right.
What's that fucking meme I heard that made me laugh? What was it? Give a rich man $100 and he'll invest it wisely and double it in a couple of years. Give a poor man $100 and he'll... Hey, wait a minute. You weren't supposed to do that.
I can't give a poor man $100.
No, the... Because they'll put it in AMC
and
bankrupt the financial system. Hey, wait, stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jen was actually asking me yesterday. She's like, what does ape mean? Like, where did the term ape come from?
I just saw this today, if you want me to explain it for you.
I would love it. I'd love you to. Yes. Yes, please.
So it's basically just referencing the way mainstream media treats the Wall Street and then retail investors. They basically consider them dumb money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of them just wearing it, turning it around and wearing it as a badge of honor. Like, yeah, I'm just a dumb ape. I don't know anything about investing, but look at me. I'm fucking kicking your ass.
That is what I told her. I was like, I don't know where it originated, but I know it's diminutive and worn like a badge of honor. Like, yeah, I'm a dumb ape.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Putting my money in where you tell me I'm not supposed to. And that's really, to me,
right.
the tribal aspect of being an ape in the AMC army. That's part of the inoculation from the fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Uh-huh.
Just saying like, well, I'm a dumb ape. Like, you tell me all this bad stuff of why I shouldn't do this. But you know what? I'm not going to listen because I'm just a dumb ape and I believe this other premise. And I'm just going to keep believing it.
There's a lot of really fucking smart retail investors there. And they'll post their DD, their deep dives and analysis. Mm-hmm. And you read through it and you're like, fuck, he makes some great points.
Yeah.
More so than fucking Richard Lightshed and his 1 cent premise on AMC.
I think that, yeah, that might be a good time to bring up. There, I came across a couple of...
Did they call him Lightshed again? Hang on. Richard Greenfield. Sorry.
Apologies, Mr. Green Shit. Didn't mean to offend you.
Baby shit.
I think I got to find it on the Discord. I found some pieces of fear, uncertainty, doubt that I found entertaining. Motley Fool.
Yeah.
Motley Fool came out with an article saying, I'll just read the headline. Capitulating to retail investors cost AMC billions. Instead of saving AMC, right, its army of retail investors may have doomed the company. So the Motley Fool put out an article that was like, AMC, they sold those shares, those 48 million shares, and they only raised this much money, and only raised enough money to get them through the end of 2022. And that's not enough. And because these retail investors own it, and aren't letting them issue new shares now that this price is going up, AMC's losing out on all this money they would have made from selling shares to new investors.
Right.
It's like, that's kind of a hollow premise. That really, it ignores the fact that the price is going up because people are holding and there's no new share issuance.
I'm pretty sure Motley Fool has some kind of partnership or deal with, I think it was Citadel or one of those companies.
Of course they do.
Also interesting thing I saw today was that Citadel sold or filed SEC filings to as part of liquidating like $28 billion worth of securities.
Ooh, maybe they're getting primed to exit a position?
Or maybe they're trying to not get margin called.
Oh, yeah, that's the incredible thing about the bear trap. Another thing I have up on the Discord from Forbes, that nice little chart about the stock price and the number of shares shorted. And you look at all the way through May, it just keeps going up. Like they're not exiting these short positions at all.
Right.
And the price is now, as we know, going up and going up. So it's going to get pricier. But they're convinced that I don't think they understand the tribal aspect to the retail investing right now. That social media, they call them meme stocks, but to me, social media has fueled this tribal group thing where people are the sharing the ideas and then banding together, and we're all going to buy and hold. And their game, the hedge fund's short game, only works if the people holding panic and sell.
Right. But they had to have learned their lesson on GameStop.
I really don't think they did, man. I really don't. I know I'm just some guy, and I'm definitely not a financial advisor, but I do make it a goal to study humans and people, and I love sociology and I love psychology, and goddamn it, I do not think these motherfuckers learned a goddamn lesson. I think they got angry, and it's clouding all of their judgment.
And they think they just know better. They think they're just a bunch of dumb apes.
They do think that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, watching somebody go on the news or like CNBC or MSN, one of those, whatever those, you know, business ones are, jumping on there and complaining about, this is not, the technicals don't support this price. Like, stop saying that. This has nothing to do with technicals at this point. There's one technical point that matters. That's short interest. Short interest and upward price movement. Mm. That's the technicals that matter.
It's the magic ingredients. And we keep doing our part. They keep doing their part. Like, you got to realize, right, the squeeze is happening because
it doesn't cost anything to hold the shares, but the people selling short have to pay that interest rate.
Right. Well, you know, what I'm saying is both sides have a part to play in this dance. If hedge funds, like if I was looking at the chart of short interest and if it had started going down in May, you know, I might be like, oh, wow, okay, at least they're trying not to get it squeezed. But no, that's not the case.
Right.
They're right. We're wrong. So they're not going to change what they're doing. It's like, okay, well, if you keep shorting it, we'll keep buying and holding it. And it's inevitable. Yep. That will come to a head. There's no avoiding that.
Yes.
And that's, oh, I love it. I love it. I love that I'm on this side of the game for this AMC squeeze.
Should be getting our proxy material here soon.
Oh, yeah, get to vote.
For the vote. Yeah.
Oh, I saw some other fear, uncertainty, doubt that came out that was like, and Adam Aron is a secret Wall Street shill and piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Saw that too. Like, no, just get the fuck out of here.
It was like, look, they changed the rules to make it so you only needed this percentage of shareholders to show up to make a quorum. I'm like, yeah, because they've never had fucking 4 million shareholders before. Like, they have to change that rule or they'll never get a quorum.
Right.
Like, come on, people. Like, put some thought into your fear, uncertainty, doubt. You're going to fool me. Try a little harder. Yeah, and it was like ignoring all of his turnaround successes and just saying like
right.
Oh, he became the board of he got on the board of directors of this SPAC that is that Citadel just invested in.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh no. Citadel, the investing company that buys stocks, bought stock in a company that he's on the board for? Gasp, shock, never. A hedge fund buying a stock. You've got to be kidding me. Because you know these executives, they're not on just one company. Right. They're on the boards of other companies. Yeah. Like usually several at a time. Yeah. That's how it works.
I don't think – I think he responded to that on Twitter too. I think his response is pretty clear. I have no idea what Citadel invests in.
Right? Well, and to think that like somehow Citadel investing in his SPAC like is some sort of kickback to him,
right?
Being on the board, they're like, "Oh, Citadel bought those shares. Well, guess you get your bonus today, Mr. Aaron."
Oh my god! Yeah, no. How many shares of AMC does Aaron own?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's millions. I think he'd make a lot more if this company did, or if the stock did squeeze.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there you have it. We did a nice long AMC episode. We're still all jazzed and ready to talk about it.
Still talking about it a lot.
Still talking about it a lot. But that's what happened with GME, because it's what's happening. I mean, when this squeeze happens, dominoes are going to start falling.
Yep.
We'll see if we manage to play it right. That's my goal. Let's just try to play it right. Not be scared.
So tell me, Dan, did you manage to learn anything this month?
Oh, yes. Yes. I think most of my learning has come from the Trade Pro Academy courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I can break down a little bit of it here. Since Vico's so open with it and I'm watching their videos online that get posted, I'm like, okay, these aren't like secrets that they're like, don't tell anybody.
Right.
The basics really do come down to trends, bear trend, mm-hmm. bull trend, and consolidation. Those are your three. You wherever the price is right now, you can put it in one of those three categories. What's right. happening? Now, different, obviously different time frames. You look at it like, oh, for the year, it's on a bullish trend, but for the month, it's on a bearish, right? The trends, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what time frame you're looking at, you're looking at a different chart, you're looking for different trends, but markets tend to be fractal. Prices tend to be fractal in terms of like the.
Is that why everybody uses that Fibonacci retracement levels?
Yes.
Okay.
The basics are pretty easy. Like bull market, higher highs, higher lows. Bear market, lower lows, lower highs. Consolidation, mm-hmm. even highs, even lows.
Just kind of bouncing around in one of those boxes.
Making those Darvis boxes, baby. My Darvis's mm-hmm. term. The Trade Pro never brings that up.
I
haven't gotten through it all, but at one point George says he makes more money off consolidation phases than any other, because you know where the top is and you know where the bottom is.
That makes so much sense too.
Yeah, glorious. Like, oh, it's trading in this box, okay, sell at the top, buy at the bottom.
Because actually my first thought when I was reading through the Darvis books that you mm-hmm. sent me back when we first started experimenting in the markets, it's more of the short-term type strategies.
Right. You found the box. Why aren't you trading the box?
I was like, wait, if you know it's bouncing between here and here, why don't you just buy it when it's here and then sell it when it's here and just keep trading it inside that
mm-hmm.
box?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, apparently you can.
Yep.
And then they have some great stuff. It's a lot of good visuals, so it's really worth the videos on the initial, you know, you've got the, I guess, there are different terms for it. I'm trying to remember right now. I think maybe called a continuation, but basically the big green up run, and then it's going to have a pullback, mm-hmm. and then consolidation. That's the basic pattern on a bear or on a bull. And the basic pattern on a bear is mm-hmm. it's got its pull down, it's got its fall down, then it's got its bounce up, and then it's consolidation. Talk about another thing like Elliott wave analysis that just helps you get used to looking mm-hmm. at the price in terms of those patterns. You know, identifying right. and helping you identify the levels of like, okay, here's that top, here's that bottom. and draw those lines. And that's what Vico's doing. He's looking at those trends and he's drawing those lines and he's giving you those levels and tweeting them out.
Damn it. I want to do this program.
Yeah, I know you do, man. I told you the other day, I was like, Kyle, you got to do this shit. This is like the keys to the kingdom. Like, oh, did you want a professional banking, investing trader guy to walk you through all the knowledge you need? I'm like, yes, please. Yeah, give me those videos. Yeah. And you know, I'm almost halfway through the fundamentals and you know, I haven't even gotten to like candlestick patterns. That's a big shift to me. I've never used the candlesticks. And now if I'm looking at a price chart, it's all I want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, give me the candles. Right. Give me the candles. Yeah. Get this stupid line out. That doesn't tell the story. Candles tell the story. You got your.
Oh, yeah. I made the switch to that a while ago. Yeah, I love candles.
Candles, they tell you, if you're looking at the candle, if you immediately green, it was an up day. Red, it was a down day. Or period. You know, down 5 minutes, up 5 minutes. Whatever period you've set your candles at to show on the chart. But each candle, yeah, it gives you that information of where the bottom of the candle in a green candle is where it opened and the top is where it closed. And then the pointy yep. parts up and down are the highs and lows.
The wicks.
The wicks. Show you how high it got. Yep. It didn't close that interval, but it got that high or that low. And if the candle's red, it started at the top of the candle. That's the open. And it closes the bottom of the red part of the candle. And then the wicks are the same, the highs and lows. So you get like a lot of information from one candle. And it really starts to tell the story. And in fact, I was telling Kyle, if you remember, I was telling you, if I had gotten through that one part before Friday, I would have sold my options when the price had bounced back up over 30, because it was failing to make new highs and it was failing to make higher lows. Like it turned, the pattern for the day had turned and I would have been a lot more confident and like, oh, okay, this is going to trend downward for a while. I should probably get out right now because my options expire today.
Right. Yeah.
Would have kept a little bit more of those gains. I mean, I still made money on the fucking options, but it would have made a lot more, as we all know.
Right.
And that price was... Yeah, at one point on Friday morning, I was looking at my portfolio going, this is unbelievable. Who gave me the cheat codes? How does this happen? Everything's so green and so up. Oh, my God.
I know.
AMC's at $36 a share. I've never had this much money in any account. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. But that's what it felt like.
That's probably close.
Yeah. Well, no, I sold that house in 2005 and right before the housing bubble popped and I made a mint on that.
Oh, that was.
Yeah. But this comes in second. But I didn't sell when it was that high.
Right.
I mean, I'm not ready. It's not done squeezing.
No. No, until they actually start covering.
Yeah. So I feel like TradePro this month has really opened the door, opened my eyes to solid technical analysis. Where I'm not so worried about what the company is doing. I'm worried about how the price is behaving. And that analysis is helping inform me and lead me to a place where I can open a chart. And I now feel secure and comfortable in describing what's happening and making solid analysis and like OGI today. I talked Jen into joining me on OGI. And this week, it just became profitable for her. Because when she entered, it was like at 3, and then it dipped right down and was like hovering around 250, and then it turned that bear trend around, and you can actually see when you look on the candlestick chart, you look at the 3 and 6 month, you can see how like look how the story of these red and green candles, now it's gone green and yeah, it's up 316 now. And I'm like, wow, man, if I wasn't all in on AMC, I'd be really happy about my OGI right now. It's turned around. It looks like it's forming a new bull trend. It could just be, moving up and consolidating a little bit, but could be, you know, choppy. I don't know. But really, really, to me, my analysis is like, look, OGI, it broke its spell. It's turned around. Let's go, go, go. I love it. Can't recommend enough. And I can't wait to talk to Sarah about order flow because that's another piece to the puzzle.
I know. I'm looking forward to that, too. I just won 12 months of level 2 on my Webull account, so I'm really excited to start watching AMC again.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, everybody. Kyle got 8th place in the Webull paper trade competition with over 10,000 competitors.
Uh, Yeah, got a whole $4.58 out of it.
Yes. So that means for the week, your stock trades had you up 45%?
Yeah, and I just buy and hold in that account. I don't try to like day trade or anything. I just, these are the stocks I like for the week. I buy them as soon as the market opens Monday and then just hold them.
So hold on. So I actually don't know this. This is, I'm finding this out live on air. Let me guess. You held AMC?
Yep.
SPCE?
Yep.
BB?
Nope.
Oh.
Bed Bath & Beyond, BBBY, and Saber, S-A-B-R.
Okay. Wow. Had a hell of a week. And you actually owned all those positions, didn't you?
I think I do. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. It's a good week.
Yeah.
Good month. All right. Go May. can't wait to end June.
I hope. Hopefully June's even better. Because aren't you supposed to sell in May and go away?
I don't know. I don't know any of those nursery stock rhymes that investing parents teach their children from the cradle.
That's the way it used to be because everyone would take a summer vacation. So everyone would pull their money out of the market so they didn't have any risk while they weren't watching. So there's always a huge capital outflow in May.
Oh, shit. Back before the war on summer happened.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Hey, Kyle, what did you learn this month?
I tried out some couple new different strategies on like some profitable options plays, mm-hmm. and I was really liking them. I did this with AMC like a couple weeks ago. Basically, I bought a bunch of calls on it. I'd bought a bunch of 915 calls like the week before, and those had done pretty well. I sold three mm-hmm. of them off to pay for all the premiums I spent and make good money on that. Kept one contract to exercise just to add to my position. But the next week, I bought a bunch of 1050 calls, sold off a couple of them, and I kept one to experiment with. And I ended up selling a 1450 call on it. This is back when it was just hitting that mark, not really wanting to go above that. I was able to sell that call for the same premium, basically, I paid, or not even, no, for even more. Let's see. I bought the calls for $1.18. I sold that 1450 call for $2. So I basically paid for my trade by selling another call.
Oh, nice.
And then figuring that if both of them exercise, because if I was just to sell it at 1450 when it was trading there, like just sell it and be done with it, I'd basically be looking at like a $400 gain, right? But by doing that, I was able to increase my gains by about 50% and still protect myself in case it went down. If it went down, I still made some money, right?
Yeah.
So I was really liking that. And then I did it on hardcore mode, basically, when I was trading Virgin Galactic right before the test flight? I picked up those $19 calls that expired on the 28th $2.20 a contract. I only got two of them because I was trading on margin, basically. I didn't want to risk deepening that hole. But, I mean, just on the premiums I made on those, let's see, premiums ended up totaling $3.41.
Wow.
And that was all by selling calls when it was running up and then when it would do that pullback, when it would consolidate. Then I'd just buy them back at half the price and then wait for the next rip up, do it again. I did that three or four times and then was able to finally sell those calls for massive, massive profits.
Well done, sir.
So, yeah, I think that's one of the things I want to try. Instead of, because it seems silly to just sell it, right? Like, why would I just sell it? I've already got this one. We already know how fun cover calls are. Mm-hmm. Unless I think the bottom's going to drop out. And even if the bottom does, I mean, might as well just sell another one and buy it back, and then I just sell calls all the way down. As long as it's moving a lot, it's a lot of IV that gets priced into it that makes those premiums even more expensive. So being able to sell contracts but having it hedged with another contract that I already own.
Right, takes the risk out.
Just seems like, man, there's a whole new world there now, it seems like. Like, man, you can really make a lot of money just trading the volatility off of this, which is what Richard Friesen likes to do.
Right. So he made a living.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be looking to do more of that in the future. I've got position, some calls that I picked up, $10 calls on BlackBerry that expired 6/18 that I'll probably be trying to do something similar with.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with AMC. I sold the one call, and my first thought was like, oh, well, it won't go over 28. So I don't want to waste the money of buying it back. I will just, do it the wrong way. And now I'll buy the 23.
Right.
That way, if it gets exercised, I don't, I just exercise the one at 23 and I still make the $500. But then it started moving up so fast. I was like, what am I doing? Buy it back and buy more at 23.
I wish I was paying closer attention to AMC because I did have a $20 call that I could have sold a I could have made a $300 selling like a $30 call when it was mm-hmm. when it, the support was starting to show there, when it was looking like it wasn't, it was pretty much going to reverse trend. Damn it. But, you know, can't win them all, I guess, right?
No, no, you can't win them all. But you, you look like you're trying.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to try at least.
So really, the ability and knowledge on selling the calls and puts and buying the calls and puts and knowing when to do it when you're making, creating risk. Because a lot of what you described to me was actually pretty low risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were hedged at that point. The riskiest part was buying the naked calls to start mm-hmm. out. But if you, you know, I like to pick, I like to buy the calls on stuff that I think have a near-term catalyst coming up and then seeing mm-hmm. if that does end up playing true. Like with space, I'm expecting another near-term catalyst and another test flight. We talked kind of in depth with that before, the interview from Michael Kohlglaser, I think his name was. Uh-huh. It sounded like they might be having something here in June in order to fit the timeline that they just put out in that interview. So yeah, I might be able to do it again, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, they have another great successful test flight. That stock's going to pop.
And it's already, I mean, it's heavily shorted as well. So it's getting that sympathy push from AMC and GME as those ones go, you know, all these other heavily shorted stocks go with it, which is the reason why I made the bet on, you know, BlackBerry.
And I think that with a lot of these stocks that are rising in sympathy, I actually saw a thing, a guy online was like, I don't like the term meme stock. Like,
yeah,
AMC's got how many fucking theaters and 40,000 employees? Like,
right.
That's not a meme company. You don't go to your meme work.
Right. You could consider it derogatory. Yeah.
But it's easy shorthand.
Yeah.
It's easy shorthand to say meme stock. And we all know, oh, GME, AMC, BlackBerry, Bed Bath & Beyond, Virgin Galactic, Nokia.
When they call it a meme stock, that means that people are going to lose interest in it fast, is what the insinuation is, right? Because that's what a meme is. A meme is something that explodes in popularity and then suddenly people forget about it, you know, a week or two later.
Mm-hmm.
People haven't mm-hmm. forgotten on GameStop.
No, they have not.
Sure have not forgotten on AMC.
But what we're able to see is maybe not the mother of all squeezes, but like, especially one of the reasons when they start rising in sympathy, they all start gamma squeezing. Mm-hmm. Like, they go up because market makers are hedging their bets.
Right.
They've got to, it's going up, so they got to buy more to keep their hedge even. To
keep delta neutral.
Yeah, to stay delta neutral. I think we see that a lot more often than I realized.
Right.
A year ago when I first heard the term gamma squeeze.
And the other thing with that too to watch is when those options are getting closer to expiration, I think maybe that's why you start to see the deflation on those on Fridays when the all those weekly calls mm-hmm. are expiring, because how many people are actually exercising them?
Yeah.
You know, once you sell and close out that contract, then they don't have to hold those shares anymore. In fact, they need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Which is partly why, another reason why I like the selling a call against one that I'm holding. Because if I do it that way, then I'm forcing them to hold on to those shares.
Mm.
If I can sell an in the money call that I'm hoping expires in the money as well.
So they can't loan your shares if you have a covered call on it?
No, I'm saying that the shares that they use to hedge their position from the contracts that they sold me.
Oh.
If I tie up and keep that, if I make it to where I have to exercise that contract, but then also have another contract that I'm using to basically fulfill that obligation, basically a spread.
They've got to hold those shares.
Right.
But that, which between the sold and the bought calls, there's 100 shares for each pair.
Right.
And they have to make sure those, okay.
That's kind of my thought process, and I'm not sure if that's the way it works or not, but I'll probably do a little more research into that. It's at mm-hmm. least one way to force something to have to change hands, make them go locate.
And for anybody out there who's just got started playing options, I came across a tale on Reddit this morning where a gentleman had bought puts that expired extremely in the money,
mm-hmm.
but he did not have the capital to buy the shares.
To exercise.
Like, he would have had to buy the shares to exercise the puts?
No, wait, to exercise the puts, he should be short selling the shares. He'd have to buy the shares to...
He bought naked puts,
yeah,
which would allow him to sell his shares at a strike price, right. But he didn't have the shares.
Right. Well, it should just open up a short position if it expires in the money, because I've actually let that happen to see. You end up showing a negative 100 shares.
Right. On his brokerage, just let them expire. He didn't sell them. He didn't have the margin or the cash.
It's the margin is the problem. In order to short sell, you have to have a margin about, or yeah, you have to have enough margin in order to actually exercise that.
Yeah, he didn't have the margin. So it went from being him, and his thoughts were like, oh, it'll keep going down after the market closes, so I'll make even more money. But that was not the case. And so he could have sold them while they were worth something.
Right.
But instead, so that you do have to be careful if you're playing with puts and calls. You have to understand what they are and how they're covered.
We've talked about that a long time ago, but that was one of the things I was speculating about, why the cost of contracts or options contracts on the day of expiration are not at like the true stock price.
The true intrinsic value.
Yeah. Because I think people are underbidding them, trying to get those people that have no choice but to close out.
Like, yeah, you don't have the margin to exercise those options. So you got to sell them to me, and I'm taking them at a guaranteed profit.
Yep, exactly.
Well, all right, Kyle, is there anything else you wanted to go over?
Nah, I think we hit most of it.
All right, then I guess we need to find out what your choice is. Are you going with the Dirty Car, or are you going with Jersey Shore?
Oh, we're still doing that? As much as I like the Dirty Car idea, because it is quite, I don't know, fitting, nice circle of a story.
There's justice.
Yeah.
It's true justice. True revenge.
I think it would be a lot more entertaining to everybody else if I was forced to watch four episodes of Jersey Shore and basically give you a report.
Report on them? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I win either way. So
when do you need your report? And is that something we're doing on the episodes? Like, do I have to do that as part of show updates?
I mean, I don't want to be the stickler. I don't know. Maybe people do want to hear about it on the show. I was thinking, because I was just posting. Because I had to post photos to the Discord. Yeah. When you watch the show, you have to post, as soon as you're done, you have to post your review of what happened.
Okay.
And then each episode, it doesn't matter when you do it. Each time we record an episode, I'll ask you about it.
Okay.
We can talk about it.
Probably don't need to dedicate a whole segment to it.
Yeah. All right. Going over reviewing the Jersey Shore today in the China shop. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Audience would leave us so fast if that was the case.
I know you came here for the stocks, but.
First, here's some Jersey Shore. Let's tell you about Snookies or whatever.
Yeah, and Mike's abs.
Who's Mike?
Whatever his name is. I don't know. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us in the month in review. We hope managed to recap some stuff, maybe put some new thoughts in your brain, give you some new food for thought. Maybe you missed something and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't hear Vico kick ass or Dr. Hans. You want to go back and listen to it? We invite you to do so. We just love you so much. We're glad you're here. Glad you came. Glad you made it to the end. But it is the end. We'll be back at you soon. But for now, kicking you all out and shutting those doors. All right, folks. Happy trades. Kyle, any parting thoughts? Parting wisdom?
Nope.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.